At this time, we get the privilege of having Steve Edmondson here today to speak. Steve is the founder of Starfish. Starfish is very near and dear to our church's heart. Starfish has been in Haiti 13 years, correct, Steve? Yes, 13 years. And so he'll be speaking about Starfish and their ministry in Haiti. So let's welcome him.
Laganav, situated 12 miles away from Haiti's closest mainland, the island of Laganav is home to 120,000 people who live in deep poverty. The people of Laganav do not struggle with weedy lawns and slow internet so much as they struggle to survive. Their daily challenges are growing food, educating their children, having enough water, and simply staying healthy. The people of Laganav feel alone. Isolated by the sea, they feel forgotten and disregarded by the rest of her country and unseen by the world. Starfish is a Christian development agency whose mission it is to let the people of Laganav know that they, in fact, are not forgotten. Through our work among them, we demonstrate that God sees them in their need. Through our work, we want them to realize that they were created by Him and in His image, and that as image bearers, they were created to live in dignity as sons and daughters of the King. We believe living in dignity means not having to die from a disease that could have been prevented. Living in dignity means having clean, clear water and being able to eat every day. Living in dignity means being able to provide for the family and being able to send your kids to school. Starfish's development work on the island focuses on three areas: education, community health, and agriculture. Laganav's move toward a brighter, more hopeful future requires a strong, intentional emphasis on quality education at every level, from early childhood up through adult. In addition to standard classroom education for children, Starfish provides ongoing learning opportunities for school teachers, farmers, and English language learning. The lack of basic infrastructure on the island of Laganav poses serious health challenges for its people. Even basic hygiene practices are a challenge in a place where running water does not exist. Raising the level of health starts with teaching fundamental principles of sanitation, hygiene, and nutrition, followed up by resourcing families with water purifying filters and materials to build household latrines. Once known as the Pearl of the Caribbean, Haiti was at one time a land of agricultural abundance. Starfish's vision is to see Laganav become green again, with productive fruit trees and family farms. Life Garden is the focal point of our efforts to turn the island green again, where tree seedlings are nurtured for future planting and where farmers from all over the island can come and learn about how to get the most out of their growing spaces. Although headquartered in Michigan, the real work of Starfish is carried out by over 70 Laganavian employees and staff. Starfish's stateside staff is comprised of volunteers who donate their time and talents, allowing for maximum donor impact directly on the island. In all we do, it is our desire that the precious people who call Laganav home will realize the high worth God sees in them and that they will respond in faith to His call on their lives. Starfish, compassion, dignity, and hope. One life at a time.
Well, good morning. It's an honor and pleasure to be with you this morning. Thank you for the invitation. I know that Dighton Church has a pretty strong history of involvement in Haiti, and I know that you've sent as many as three teams over the years since our inception, one in 12, one in 14, one in 2018. And we appreciate your help that way and partnership in our ongoing efforts. I'm going to read by script I will go off script, I'm sure, but this kind of keeps me on point so I don't keep you until 2:30 this afternoon. And so be thankful, be very thankful. Just by way of introduction, my name is Steve Edmondson. My wife couldn't be here. She likes to come with me on these presentations, but she's worshiping at our home church this morning, and she sends her greetings. Her name is Sue. I have been a family practice doctor for 30-some years, and I just retired about 5 months ago, so yay me. Somebody said, how's it going? I said, it's hard to wipe the smile off my face. It's a Starfish has been, I hate to use the word side hustle, but it's been, I had my living that I made as a doctor, and I did Starfish, and God has blessed that, even though that truly has been my part-time gig in my life. And now I have much more bandwidth to give to what I have, frankly, more passion for at this stage of my life. So, and I'd like to just share with you a little bit about Starfish's work in Haiti. And I think by way of segue from that video, I think I'd like to kind of take off on the tagline that we have. It says, Starfish, compassion, dignity, hope, one life at a time. And I think I'd just like to talk about compassion, dignity, and hope just for a minute. And then after which, I will get into some of the specifics and show you some pictures of our current work on the island of Laganav in Haiti. God has a lot to say about compassion. God has a heart. He exposes his heart for the poor in Isaiah. And just listen to this in Isaiah 58 when he says, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. We are compassionate, and that's one part of our tagline. We are compassionate because God is compassionate, and God has a heart for the poor and oppressed and the suffering people of the world. The second word of our tagline is dignity, and you heard a lot in that video about the dignity. Whether you're fortunate enough, and we all are, fortunate enough to be born where we are, it wasn't our intention or fault of where we choose to be born, but God ordained that we were born in this country and with great privileges and with great blessings of, count in your home how many taps you have that you can go at any moment, steps away, on the spur of the moment, if you get thirsty or need, and open the tap with clean, fresh, clear water. We have a sprinkler. We can turn on the sprinkler, and our lawn gets sprinkled. Clean water. You could drink from our sprinkler. We can draw water for our pet dogs. Clean, clear water. We have so many privileges. We can, if we get sick, we can go down. I don't know how close your urgent care center or your doctor's office is, but within hours, certainly, we can get to help if we sprain our ankle or break our arm or get sick in some way. We just are blessed that way in this country. We can go to the refrigerator and open the refrigerator and get something out of the refrigerator if we have just the slightest pang of hunger or just want a treat. Others in the world don't have those privileges, do they? And certainly in Haiti, where they have to walk hours to fetch water that probably is not clean. If it was clean when they drew it from a well, it's not clean after drawing it into a dirty bucket. They travel on dusty and rocky, unimproved roads in worn-out sandals. And children and women are often the ones who have to do the fetching. And so that means time away from the home, or for children, the inability to attend a school because they're busy fetching water for the family. All these people, us, them, we are created to live in dignity. We are born and created in the image of God, we and them, and no one no more, no less than the other. We are created to mirror the image of God. And as such, we have the opportunity, if we discover it and recognize it, to live in the dignity of knowing that we are children of the King, both the blessed of this country and the impoverished of places like Haiti. So compassion and dignity. And then the last word in our tagline is hope. It all starts with hope. It's if there's nothing else we can do, through our acts of compassion and through our teaching that you are a dignified child of the King, that brings hope. And through hope, that is everything. Because when there's hope, there is a trust in your fellow human being. There is not suspicion that you're after what I have or I'm after what you have. There's hope for a future that is earmarked by the compassion and dignity that we talked about. Isaiah said it. God, through his prophet Isaiah, said it in chapter 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hope. Desmond Tutu said it well when he said, hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. And there's sure plenty of darkness in Haiti. And I'd like to just be transparent with you this morning. All is not well in Haiti. If you're following the news, or maybe you can't follow much on the news because our news cycle is so crowded, we're just not hearing much about what's going on in Haiti. But there's plenty going on in Haiti, and it's a lot of it is on the dark side. Haiti is today is a failed state. There have not been national elections since late 2017. 2 years ago, her president, President Moïse, was assassinated, and they still haven't found the assassin. Because there have been no elections, all of the elected officials in the parliament and the Senate and others, their terms have timed out, and so there is no legitimate elected government in control. And so that power vacuum has allowed, nature abhors a vacuum. Well, the vacuum has been filled by gangs. And the gangs are running amok in Haiti. They're somewhere between 100 and 200 at this moment, armed gangs running through Haiti. And some of them are quite large and well-armed with long guns. One of the largest gangs, the Mazowo gang, has well over 400 members to it. And they are shooting and robbing and kidnapping and taking over roads and extorting money from people that want to go from point A to point B. In order for passage, they'll extort money from them. And so that's how they kind of finance their evil empires. All of this has had repercussions, of course, in Haiti with the economy. Inflation is high, with supply chains cut down, with food not being able to move from supply areas to especially the rural areas and like La Ganave, the cost of food getting from A to B has skyrocketed. Just this past year, inflation of food has gone up 52%, and that's just in the past year. And so people just can't afford their food in the rural areas and places like Laganov. And that's just a repercussion of the evil doing that the gangs are creating over on the mainland. Dozens of hospitals have shut down because they don't have supplies to supply their work there in the hospitals. In addition, a lot of the staff, especially upper-level doctors and nurses, are afraid to go to work out of fear of kidnapping. And so they either stay home, and many of them are looking to move out of Haiti into another country just for their own safety. And so lots of hospitals are shutting down. We're seeing a dramatic worsening in the level of hunger and food insecurity in the country, especially in the rural parts. All of Laganov is classified. There are five basic categories of food insecurity, from mild to famine, and Laganov is level. All of Laganov is level four, which is an emergency. What is classified by the IPC as an emergency situation, emergency food insecurity. Any worse will be called a famine, which is they have to, by definition, have so many deaths as a result of acute starvation, and they haven't quite gotten there yet, but it's the trajectory is very concerning for much of Haiti, including all of Laganov. One of the other repercussions is cholera has made a resurgence. That might be a strong word. Cholera has shown up again back in the country, and we have seen, I was there two or three months ago, and we saw several cases of cholera showing back up. There hadn't been a case of cholera reported in about 3 years, I think, and now it's showing up again. And that's just due to poor hygiene practices and the lack of clean water. Much of the water, not on Laganov so much, but much of the water on the mainland is trucked from A to B, where trucked from clean water facilities out to rural areas in the mainland. And that's where the cholera first showed up, and then, of course, it kind of makes its way across the sea over into the island. There is a village right down from our starfish base of operations on the island. The village is called Groman, and that's where we saw several cases of cholera. It is still there. I'm in contact with them weekly, at least, and we've had several deaths. Several parents have died, leaving children orphans there in that village right up the coast from us. It's been over a year since we've been able to travel by road. Now, your teams, I'm sure, traveled by road once they flew into Port-au-Prince, got into a truck, undoubtedly, and traveled by road, National Route 1, over to the boat wharf where you took a boat over to the island. That road is shut down because it's dangerous to pass. It's just no one in their right minds, including Haitians, not just Americans or foreigners. Anybody is afraid to pass on to go on that road because they know that they're going to pass through gang areas. And certainly if you're somebody like us, we would stand out, and there's just no safe passage for an American right now on the roads anywhere in Haiti. That has left, for me at least, and for us who come and go, not teams, I'm just talking about two or three people going to do our work, we have depended on an organization called MAF, Missionary Aviation Fellowship. They run a charter plane service, little Cessnas, that will move us from Port-au-Prince out to rural areas of Haiti, ours being Laganov. And we have relied on them. I've taken hundreds of trips on these planes over the years. And effective 1 month ago, almost exactly 1 month ago, May 1, they suspended operations in Haiti for the rest of the year due to the risk of their staff and pilots getting to and from work, and to the fact that these gangs have burned several airplanes when they arrive at their rural destinations. And so, not MAF planes, but other little airplanes, and they're just out of due diligence and safety, they had they are taking a breath, suspending operations so that they can regroup and see what's next for their ministry. So that leaves do-gooders like us in a lurch. We don't know how to get there safely. And so that's what we're dealing with now. I have been in touch personally with the United Nations. They have us, as you know, the United Nations left Haiti in 17, I think. And so they have a vestige little operation there with a helicopter that they are willing to fly humanitarian personnel from A to B. And so they have agreed to do that for us. And so, but that's much less nimble and flexible. And so we have to kind of work on their schedule, but they are able to get us safely back and forth. But that's just not an ideal situation, as you can imagine. What's amazing to us, that's the bad news. You're probably exhausted. Just like, get this guy off the stage. What's amazing to us is that God, like the song we just sang, God is so faithful. He is so faithful. The title of what I had to say is Light in the Darkness. Haiti's a dark place. But what better place for light than darkness? I mean, light shines brightest when it's dark. And so if we can, through our compassion and our goodwill as believers, if we can show that evil will not have its way at the end, then that's going to get the attention of people. People are going to say, "What? That just doesn't make sense what they're doing. Why do they keep coming back? Why do they keep doing good? Why are we all seen as that valuable to them when they've got life like they have it, like they enjoy in the States?" But he continues to bless. And I'd just like to share a little bit about the blessings that we're enjoying. You can go ahead and start a few of the slides if you want. Even though we're not able to easily come and go as we like, he is nonetheless growing Starfish's ministry among some of the poorest people in the world. Over 800 children continue to show up every day to one of our 5 schools, not including our English as a second language school. We recently completed construction on a 2-building, 8-classroom school in one of the most remote villages of, I'm a doctor, not a teacher, one of the most remote villages on the island of Laganav. It's about 20 to 25 miles as the crow flies, but it takes 5 to 6 hours to travel. It's very remote and very difficult to get there. But this past year, even though us gringos were not able to travel with all the things that we have to offer, this was 100% built by, save for the roof trusses, 100% built by Haitian labor. And so just the act of building the school provided tons of jobs and livelihoods for families, et cetera, and a new school for this precious community. We recently completed construction, and just a couple months ago, we brought computer access learning to one of our most desperately poor schools on the Salt Flats. We brought in 20 Chromebooks along with a server that has loaded on it hundreds and hundreds of French language and English language learning tools. And we have it set up. Kids are meeting to learn not just how to work a computer, but what they can learn through the computer. So they meet every day, and we just opened it up and said, go at it. And children have a way of figuring it out. The resiliency and the understanding that kids have with computers. So we just let them go, and they are learning things that they have never had access to learning before. And it's all powered by solar, which we also provided them. The solar that we provided, I see now that I can see what you see. I just noticed that. Can we start over? And so the solar that we provided to provide energy for this computer classroom also provides lights for the evening. You know, when it gets dark, it's dark in Haiti and on Laganav. You haven't seen it this dark because there's just no electrical grid. And so if there's some solar powered lighting on the and surrounding the campus of the school, children have a way to read after it gets dark and before they go to bed, and they can kind of do their homework and so on. Within the last couple months, we installed water purifying filters. We can move ahead on the, there we go. In 63 homes in that same village where I told you that cholera had come back, we're currently in the process of building 82 family latrines, 32 in that village that I told you about, and then 50 in a second village. God also continues to bless our areas in the area, our efforts in the area of agriculture. Every month, you can keep moving those slides if you want. There we go. Every month, staff at our two Life Garden campus locations produce thousands of tree and vegetable seedlings every month. Farmers line up every day to pick up seedlings for their farms and gardens. It's fun to hear about the enthusiasm of the farmers when they come for their supplies, knowing that although these seeds and seedlings won't feed their families today, their new planting should provide food for years and years to come. In recent days, we've responded in pity, frankly, and kindness by providing food to some of the most vulnerable cases of acute hunger, where we see young children literally starving. This slide is maybe a week old at most. And this is in the village of Gromon, where we had those cases of cholera that just devastated that little seaside town. And so starvation is an acute problem today in the village of Gromon. And so although relief, you hear of relief and development, well, we see ourselves as mainly a development, a Christian development agency. And we see ourselves as developing. And so we're not doing so much of feeding kids and addressing immediate needs, because we don't see that as a, but when you see somebody starving, what are you going to do? You know, I mean, we cannot look away. We cannot, I mean, it's like in, he said in Isaiah, if we will not address the needs of the hungry, then what kind of followers of Jesus Christ are we? And so sometimes we just need to step away, take a deep breath, get over ourselves, frankly, from this development stuff, and just feed a kid. This young woman, I visited her home. I took this picture. And that's her home that she's standing. And I walked inside the home, she showed me. And if you look up, you can just see tons of little rusted out holes in the roof, tin roof of her home. And we didn't promise her, because it's hard to promise anything, because there's the needs are legion, and so we just walk away not promising. But God has impressed it on us after we got home that we should help this particular young woman with a roof. So we're going to give her a new roof. She doesn't know that yet, but here within the next weeks she'll get a roof that'll keep her bed. The bed in her home, if you pushed on it, it was damp, you know. And so, and the rain, it's in the rainy season, and so we know this will be a great blessing for her. If you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Some may ask, and it's a good question, and I'm going to ask it for you because I know some people will ask it, and I've asked it of myself. What good does planting trees and providing clean water and feeding hungry kids and putting tin roofs on houses have to do with the gospel? I would respond by saying it has everything to do with the gospel. In our work among the poor, we imitate what Jesus did when he walked this planet. Isn't that what Jesus did? He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He made the lame walk. He made the blind see. He dealt with the hurting, the temporal, the immediate needs of people. In our work among the poor, we imitate what Jesus did. And our work among the poor is in itself, as we regard it, an act of worship. Our tangible efforts at putting tin roofs on houses is our act of worship. Jesus himself said in Matthew 25, you know the passage of the sheep and the goats, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. When the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. I believe, and I don't know, I'm not a theologian. I might be disagreed with by those who know better. But I take that literally. I think that when we minister to the poor, we look in the eyes of that woman who needed a roof, or we see a kid or adult who hasn't eaten in 2 or 3 days, and we give them a plate of rice, I just wonder if we look in their eyes, if Jesus is looking back at us. That might be off base from a theologian, but Jesus, I take him at his word here. When you did it for one of the least of these, you did it to me. This is why even when conditions are difficult and bleak and dark, and it is dark in Haiti, and dangerous, we have chosen to lean in. We're not going to back off. It may be difficult. We may have to regroup and reinvent and adjust our models of ministry. But we will not back off. We have chosen to lean in, to work all that much harder. Working in darkness is risky and hard and sometimes scary, often scary. But we just feel that light shines brightest when held against a background. People are drawn to light, especially at night. Our prayer is that the suffering in Haiti will see and respond to the light when they see it, and that they will recognize Jesus as the only true source of hope for their lives. Please remember the people of Haiti, and especially of Laganav, and remember me and Starfish and our ministry among them. Thanks for inviting me to share with you this morning.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate all you do in your ministry with Starfish. And I want to, if you could just stay here for a second, I want to invite the ministry missions team up here, if you would. If you're part of the outreach team, come on up. And we just want to share with you as a congregation that we support Starfish. You support Starfish as a congregation. This is one of our organizations, mission organizations that you support, and a lot of you may not know that, but this is a fantastic team. There's a few missing. There's two downstairs teaching, and but fantastic team of people.
And there's one that's hiding over there.
And there's one, yes, come on, Kat, you can come on up. So we do appreciate all of the things that you all do as far as the, we call it a global and local missions. And so we do want to just say thank you all for all of your work that you do as a missions team. Steve, thank you so much. We want to just pray right now, if we could just praise a congregation. So I don't know, I'm a little different and weird. I don't like to do things really normal. Let's, if you feel led to come on up and pray and just kind of, if it's okay, we lay hands upon Steve today, asking him and asking the Lord to just bless Starfish and just kind of just flood with blessing. So if you would come on up, Steve, if you want to stand down here, we just want to just ask God's blessing. So if you want to come forward and just lay hands on Steve and just ask God's blessing upon his ministry as we pray together. Father in heaven, we know that you care for the smallest of needs in this world. And Lord, today, as we are just the tip of the iceberg, God, of the need in Haiti right now, God, I just ask, as the God of all good things and the giver of all good things, Lord, we ask, God, that you'd continue to bless Starfish, bless Haiti. God, I ask that you would just be with Steve and the entire ministry. Those people who are actually there right now, I ask for protection. I ask, God, for your blessing and guidance upon them, ministering to people in such deep, deep need. Lord, we ask for this ministry, Lord, just to take on a new shape. I'm kind of feeling, God, like maybe there's maybe something new. As Steve has retired, he's given more effort and he's able to just not be divided any longer in his mind or his time. And right now I ask, God, that you would just bring a new vision, something fresh, something exciting, something that, God, you're going to do something new through Starfish during this next season of life. And right now I pray that your hand, your Holy Spirit, would go with that brand new whatever it is. I ask, Lord, that your Spirit would just guide and direct. Be with Steve if he's got some decisions to make, if there's something that the team needs to talk about or whatever it is, God, we give it to you right now. In the name of Jesus, we ask, God, that your hand would be with this ministry. Lord, we ask, God, that you would just pave the way for protection, pave the way for transportation, pave the way for finances. Whatever the need is, God, the greatest need, we ask. And we give this unto you, into your hands. Lord, we ask this in the marvelous and mighty name of Jesus. Yes. Amen. 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 Amen.